This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Alex, we're rolling along this morning. Thanks for joining us. We've got the NFL schedule preview coming up where we kind of have some fun with the matchups, tell you the value of those matchups. Again, last night, a 63-21 win by the Raiders over the Chargers on Thursday Night Football, kicking off Week 15. Matt Lombardo joins us on a Progressive guest line, Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love. Visit progressive.com/careers. He's from FanBuzz. Matt Lombardo joining us here on Sports Map Radio. How are you, Matt?
Tony, doing great. How are you? Happy Football Friday.
Happy Football Friday it is. The takeaway last night, maybe this is something that still needs to play out with three games remaining for them. Did Antonio Pierce save an opportunity to be the head coach of the Raiders with that win last night?
Tony, I'm going to look at this from the other angle here. The Los Angeles Chargers quit last night.
Sure did.
I have never seen a team show that little effort and that little heart and that little desire to even be on a football field than the Chargers did last night. And, you know, it was kind of silly, and everybody on social media was making fun of Amazon interviewing Brandon Staley at halftime. I'm kind of surprised that Dean Spanos wasn't interviewing interim head coaching candidates by right. midway through the second quarter. I'm a little bit more surprised that as we have this conversation at around 11 o'clock Eastern time, that Brandon Staley is still employed on the West Coast. Now, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do with Antonio Pierce. I think it's obvious that the players are playing for him. They're playing hard. They're motivated. But I just don't know that last night's the barometer to make that kind of call. Maybe Mark Davis learned from moving on from Bisaccia, who had a very similar locker room that really played hard for him. We'll see, but I think the biggest takeaway here is the end of the Brandon Staley era has to be coming, right? If not today, when?
Yeah, and how do you put in context? I mean, you get a quarterback, he's in the early stages of his career, and he's now at a point where you give him the big money, and he doesn't have the right coach with him that just hasn't been together. How would you kind of put together what kind of a mess the Chargers have been with the talent that they have and no results on the other end for it?
Yeah, I think the problem here is that you took a quarterback with elite talent, otherworldly arm talent and accuracy and all of the things that you look for in a franchise quarterback, and you placed him in a situation with a defensive-minded head coach. And I think that if you're the Chargers, the top priority is to go out and get a quarterback whisperer this offseason. It's not necessarily because you need to shepherd Justin Herbert's development or you need to take him to the next level. You need to have a head coach in there with the instincts within a game from a play calling standpoint on Sundays, from the standpoint of building a system around Justin Herbert's best traits. And I'll be honest with you, Tony, if I'm the Chargers and I don't have Justin Herbert sitting in on head coaching interviews, you're doing your franchise a disservice because the defense has a lot of talent, right? There's young talent there that's going to get better. But their success or failure hinges on Justin Herbert and having the right system in place to maximize all of his talent and all his potential. So to me, it's about doing what's best for Justin Herbert from here on out.
Matt Lombardo joining us from FanBuzz, senior NFL writer. Let's talk about some other teams that are heading into the final four games of the season. Let's start with Philadelphia. They've lost two straight, but their two games are very important because it's San Francisco and Dallas. But they've been in very close games for the last 6 weeks, albeit going 4-2. But people want to dissect this team a little bit in terms of what's going wrong. What do you see wrong with the Eagles? And how do you see them heading into the stretch run?
Yeah, I think a couple of things are in play here. One, I think that the last two losses are at least partially the byproduct of just being worn down, right? You think about all of those one-score wins. I don't think you're looking at a Minnesota Vikings from a year ago situation when those one-score wins are coming against the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you're playing in a stretch where you have the San Francisco 49ers and the Cowboys and the Dolphins and the Chiefs and the Bills all strung together like this, and you still have to get through Seattle on Monday. I think the other thing is you look at what happened the last 2 weeks. We've talked for years, and for a long time I think it has been true, that the Eagles boasted the best offensive line and best defensive line in football. I don't think that's the case this year. I think it's a false talking point right now, because if I saw anything against San Francisco and Dallas, Tony, that the Eagles aren't good enough along either line of scrimmage when they're facing other elite teams. You look at what the 49ers were able to do pressuring Jalen Hurts all afternoon long. You look at what the Cowboys defense was able to do to that offense, keeping them off the scoreboard, forcing three takeaways. It just seems like the Eagles aren't good enough right now along either line of scrimmage. And that should be a five-alarm fire at the NovaCare Complex, because that's been an organizational philosophy and building block for Howie Roseman for as long as he's been in that position. So, you know, I think Monday night is going to be a litmus test for them. Are they good enough to win playing the way that they have been up until the last 2 weeks, over the last 2 years? And that's dominating up front, and it's with a ground-and-pound running game, a physical offense, which they just haven't been against the Niners or the Cowboys.
The Cowboys especially are a team that we've seen iterations of this kind of Cowboys team that's good. They've got a good record. They're going to go to the playoffs. But there's always a wait and see. Like, I'll hold off on the analysis of the Cowboys until it's all said and done. Can we move on past that, given the way they've played over their last five games? Or is it still, in the end, you've got to beat San Francisco, you've got to beat Philadelphia in the postseason, and they haven't gone to the championship game in 30 years?
Yeah, I think that there's something to the last part of that they haven't been to the championship game in 32 years, but I think this is different. This is a different version of Dak Prescott. You know, you have over 30 touchdowns already, fewer than seven interceptions. He's protecting the football better. The Cowboys are a more explosive offense. The defense is peaking. They have playmakers at all three levels. And, you know, if I said this a couple of different times to a couple of different people this week. If you're playing the NFC Championship game in San Francisco and it's the 49ers and the Cowboys, I think the 49ers are about a 3.5 to 4 point favorite. And to me, that's showing some respect to what the Cowboys are. I think it's essentially a coin flip between those two teams. And I think that this is a very different Cowboy team than we've seen over the last half decade or so.
Over in the AFC, there is it's fun, I guess, with all these 7-6 teams kind of moving up and down. But is a team like the Bills that just lost too many conference games, they can get hot, I get it, but have they shown anything to give an indication that they can make a push and a run? They were a Kadarius Toney toe away from losing again.
Fascinating, isn't it, that we all talked going into the year that the AFC was going to be this gauntlet with all of
these elite teams,
and it'd be, you know, four 12-win teams fighting out for the number one seed, but it turns out all the drama is for the wild card spots. And listen, a team like Buffalo, you have to give a lot of credit for the way they played over the last 3 or 4 weeks when you think about all of the talent they've lost, especially on the defensive side of the ball this year. And they just feel like a type of team that, you know, you look at what's happening in the rest of the AFC, you look at how vulnerable the Chiefs are because of just how, you know, incapable that wide receiving core is. You look at, you know, there really isn't an elite team in the AFC, especially when you talk about the Dolphins, who can't seem to beat other top competition and then fall flat on their faces, 19-point favorites against the Titans. The Bills feel like a team that if they just get in, why can't they make a run?
Sure.
Why can't they make a run with that quarterback and the defense punching above its weight and the way that offensive line is playing right now? So I think that if they get hot the rest of the way and you reset, there are only maybe two teams on that side of the bracket that I would feel more confident in making a run than Buffalo.
How would you describe the Indianapolis Colts? How are they winning games? Gardner Minshew has always been a fun story. How are they winning football games?
Yeah, I think it comes down to Shane Steichen calling some really innovative plays. I mean, you hate to say it, but it's like every week you look up and there's two trick plays that go for 45 yards on a score. I mean, if you start stacking those things, they can make a big difference. I think Steichen has those guys buying in. I think the defense is doing a really nice job, especially Zaire Franklin flying to the football almost every snap. I think it's an innovative scheme, and, you know, they've figured out a way to tailor a system to what Gardner Minshew does best.
Do you think Pittsburgh, and Tomlin has rallied this team before, did it last year, just to be in the conversation in the final week of the season. He's done this before. Is there enough there with the Steelers to rally, or has he lost this offense?
Boy, you know, I think it just comes down to that. I don't know that they have the quarterback. I mean,
no,
you look
either.
at you know, the offensive line is doing well enough, I guess. They run the ball well enough, I guess. They have pretty dynamic wide receivers, especially with George Pickens. Pass rush is going to, you know, put you on your back and carry as long as they can take you. But it comes down to the quarterback. And when you start thinking about what they're going to need to do to get into the postseason, let alone what they need to do in the playoffs if they make it, they're going to have the worst quarterback on the field of anybody of these playoff teams. So, you know, I don't know that Tomlin has lost the offense. I just don't think that he ever had a quarterback.
Good point. Matt Lombardo, FanBuzz is the website. Good stuff. Really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Tony, happy holidays.
Hope to get you in soon. Happy holidays as well. Hope to get you on again. All right, again, it's week 15. We're going to go through our schedule, and we always do this every Friday. We go through the games. We sort of give you a buzz about the games. We don't really pick predictions and do all that. We just kind of say, hey, look, this is what's going to be showcased in these games. And now we've reached that point where if you go through the list, there's very, very few games that are just complete duds. There's just very few games that you're like, don't bother. Don't even bother watching this one. Nothing's on the line. There is something on the line, right? There is something. The opening of these teams, look at the Bills. The Bills are 7-6. Like he said, if you get the Bills just in the playoffs at any point, anywhere, 7 seed, top wild card team, whatever, they're going to be a dangerous team in the postseason because they would have really earned it. They are the last of the 7-6 teams. There's 6 of them. They're last. Why are they last? Because they're 4-5 in their conference games. This is going to be one of the major factors. That means that the Bills would be overcoming a lot of deficiencies to win some football games and make a push to topple over teams, and they would be red hot going into the playoffs if they should get into the playoffs. We're going to go over the schedule coming up next, the early games, and then later on the late afternoon games. Plus, we got Saturday games.